verse in 1 Colossians chapter 3 and verse 11. All right, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 11. Let's read this verse together. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 11. Oh, I'm in the wrong chapter. No wonder that wasn't the verse I was looking for. All right, Colossians chapter 3, verse 11. This is the one. Altogether, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Let's pray. Dear God, Heavenly Father, I do thank you. I thank you for your word. What a blessed privilege it is to stand behind a pulpit and proclaim it, and what a blessed privilege it is to sit in a pew and hear it preached. I pray, dear God, today that you give us all ears to hear, you give us hearts that are receptive and wills ready to obey. Bless us, dear God. Meet with us. Deal with each and every one of us. I ask this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I want us to notice the last six words of this verse that reads, Christ is all and in all. Now, years ago, a little boy attempted to quote Psalm 23, verse 1. And he said this, the Lord is my shepherd, that's all I want. Now, when it comes to Christ, he should be all we want, for he meets all our needs. He truly is our all in all. Christ is all in Revelation. While it's true that the last book of this divine library is the revelation of Jesus Christ, not the revelation of St. John the Divine, the entire Holy Bible speaks of Jesus Christ. Christ is everything in this God-breathed book. In John chapter 5, verse 39, Jesus said, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are which testify of me. From Genesis to Revelation, this book talks about Jesus. There was a young preacher who asked an older preacher, should study the Bible. I did that just yesterday. And what he should look for in the Word of God. You didn't get that, did you? There was a young preacher that asked an older preacher, and I just did that yesterday. Who asked the older preacher how he should study the Bible and what he should look for in the Word of God. He was told, young fella, you'll never really discover the true meaning of any passage in the Bible until you find Jesus in it. That's some good advice, for the Bible is the H-I-M book because it speaks of Him. After Jesus rose from the grave, He walked down the Emmaus Road with two discouraged disciples. And He gave them a Bible lesson like no other. For Luke 24, verse 27 says, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He, speaking of Jesus, expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. I would have loved to have been there as He pointed out to them that He was the Creator in Genesis 1:1, that He is the promised seed of the woman, that He was pictured as the innocent one dying for sinful man in the garden as God robed sinful man in the garments of skins of animals. In type, He was the lamb that Abel offered up. He was the one that Abraham spoke of on the way up to Mount Moriah when he told Isaac, my son, God will provide Himself a lamb. He is the ladder that goes from earth to heaven that Jacob dreamed of. He is the angel that Jacob wrestled with at Peniel. And He who blessed him there. He is the Passover lamb. The serpent that was lifted up on a pole. The angel of the Lord that appeared to Manoah's wife. He is the captain of the Lord of hosts that encouraged Joshua prior to going in and gaining victory in the land of Canaan. He is the high priest after the order of Melchizedek, the judge of all the earth, the king that will sit on the throne of David, The fourth man in the fire that Nebuchadnezzar saw. The stone that was cut without hands that will wipe out all vestiges of Gentile rule. He is a child that was born, the son that was given. He is the Lord that Isaiah saw in the temple. He is the suffering servant of Isaiah 53. Every piece of furniture in the tabernacle speaks of him. He is the rock from which living waters flowed, the manna from heaven, and the I am of the burning bush. Jonah pictures his death and resurrection. He is the kinsman redeemer of the book of Ruth. He is the Lord that He is the voice of the wilderness that John the Baptist spoke of. Or John the Baptist is the voice in the wilderness that spoke of the Lord. He is the chiefest among 10,000. He is the fountain for cleansing, the friend that sticketh closer than a brother, the Holy One, the everlasting life, our righteousness. And since He is the living Word, He's found throughout the written Word in types, names, and prophetic utterances. Christ is all in the book that God gives us. And we ought to study it with the emphasis of seeing Jesus throughout its written pages. Number two, Christ is all in creation. I am not one to believe in evolution or devolution. I just don't have that much faith. You know, I don't have that much faith in science, so falsely called, and they came up with some theory they put as evolution. I believe God created all things in 6 literal days and in just 10 commands. I believe Jesus is the Creator, for we read this in John chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. You know, I have no confidence in biological baboon boosters who believe that the Father who art in a coconut tree. You know those mental giants of our day who say this: once I was a tadpole, long and thin. Then I was a bullfrog with my tail tucked in. Then I was a monkey hanging from a tree. Now I'm a professor with a PhD. The Genesis account is true. And that first book of the Bible in its first verse says this: in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. This verse both assumes the existence of God and His responsibility for creation. There is no attempt to prove God. No attempt to prove that He created things. The Bible is a book of proofs. It is a divine revelation. And it is to be accepted by faith. I don't need some theologian lecturing me on the existence of God any more than I need an astronomer to tell me that the sun is shining. Both should be obvious. In Genesis 1:1, we have just 10 words. But in that one verse, atheism that denies the existence of God is annulled. Deism is debunked, and while they do not deny the existence of God, they do not believe that He reveals Himself to man. Fatalism is found faulty, for they say everything is by chance. And pantheism is problematic, for they say the universe is God, and God is the universe, and creation and God are two different, distinct subjects. The word created here means to bring into existence or make something out of nothing. Now, it may surprise some of you here, but I actually believe in the Big Bang Theory. You say you do? Yes! God said it and bang, it happened! Now, those who go about teaching evolution is a fact are nothing more than con men. They're liars. They are guilty of spreading the greatest hoax ever upon mankind. I may have had some ancestors that hung by their neck, but none by a tail. Thank God Christ is all in creation, and this is written of Him in Colossians 1, verse 16 and 17. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Number three, Christ is all in salvation. It's not Jesus plus anything. It is Jesus, period, the end. Salvation is the result of faith in Christ, nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else. He said this in John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Then in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Then in John chapter 10, verse 9, it is written, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. There's only one way. There is only one name. There's only one door whereby anyone can be saved, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Yesterday I was out soul winning, and I was with Shane, and we knocked on his door, and I gave a clear plan of salvation to this woman, and she prayed and asked Christ to save her. And when I got done, I asked her, did you mean what you said? She said, part of that. I said, part of that. She says, yeah, I believe I got to do something. Now, how many think she got it? No. You don't do nothing at all. Simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 5, 12 separates the haves from the have-nots. And it all has to do with Jesus. It reads, he that hath the Son hath life. So if I have the Son, do I have life? Do I have eternal life? Do I have everlasting life? And can I have abundant life? And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now, I'm glad to be a Baptist. And better than that, I'm an independent fundamental Baptist. But I am saved not because I'm a Baptist with a capital B. Matter of fact, I spell it B-A-B, Baptist. But because I believed that Jesus loved me, died on the cross, paid my sin debt, suffered my hell, was buried and rose victoriously from the grave 3 days and three nights later. That's it. Amen. Jesus is the open sesame to heaven. He is willing to save one and all, everybody, anybody, and whosoever. He provides a full, free, finished salvation that lasts forever, and he will cast no one out. He is the Savior of all men. He is the Redeemer who paid the price of our redemption in his own precious blood. He is the Lamb of God for sinners slain, the Deliverer who rescues our soul from hell, the Fountain by whom we are cleansed from all our iniquity, our High Priest who gave himself as a sacrifice for our sins, and whoever liveth to make its intercession for us. He is the hope of glory, as we will one day be with him in the place that he is preparing for his people. He is the horn of salvation and the strength, and he has the strength to keep those who are saved. He is the Lord our righteousness.